Good morning, everyone. You know, every so often I'll lean over to Greg and say, you're supposed to start the service, but that's me today. So we're going to look at a topic today about being frugal versus having faith, and if those two can ever conflict with each other. And so I know it's Mother's Day, and we're going to celebrate that as individual families later today, I know. But why don't we stop and pray as we are able to worship with the music team together. So why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us principles of how you work and how your kingdom works. And it's different from the way the world around us works. Help us to see that, help us to trust you, and thank you. We can sing to you today. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. Why don't we do something special in the greeting today and find as many mothers as you can and wish them a happy Mother's Day. Don't talk long to them because people want to circle through. So find the mothers, wish them a happy Mother's Day. All right. And I'm just making a blanket happy Mother's Day to everybody since I didn't make it around. So awesome. Hopefully you guys will enjoy your day. It's a nice day. It's not raining so far. A little cool, but very nice. We also, I don't know if we formally welcome back the college students that have returned. Megan's returned and Abby's returned. And I don't know if Eric's returned yet. Not yet. Next week. All right. Is there anyone else that returned? Oh, Aaron. Well, he's visiting. He's actually returned and then gone again. So welcome you guys back. On that note, we are starting a week from Wednesday our second annual CLT, College Leadership Training. I know you guys have different definitions, but that's what we call it. And we'd love to have you guys join us again as we continue what we did last year and meeting regularly to go over core principles. And, you know, it's interesting. Last year we talked about being a Christian on a college campus. And this year more of you guys have had that experience. And so I think it'll be very rich. That week will be a very rich discussion for you guys to share with us. What is it like being a college student on a campus so that for those that are leaving, they can learn. So it should be a great time of teaching together, fellowship together, ministry together, and we're looking forward to that starting on Wednesday. This coming week, we've been talking about this a couple weeks so far, is that we're, this coming week, this coming Sunday, we're having a core meeting after church. So we'll have breaking of bread during the service, like we do sometimes in all church breaking of bread. After the service, we're having a potluck, so please bring something to share, whatever you would like to share. We usually end up with a lot of different foods, and it's a lot of fun. So bring a potluck dish next Sunday, stay for lunch, and then we'll do it kind of like we did the Iwana thing, where we'll have a microphone set up in the fellowship hall, and after a while, we'll go over four meeting topics and just kind of give you a little more of what we're thinking lately and what the Lord's doing, and it should be a good family time together. So that's this coming Wednesday. The only other thing is that the sound team, led by Earl Hahn, give Earl a big hand for leading that. The sound team is meeting here this coming Saturday on the 19th at 10 a.m. So if you can make it, if you're on the sound team, it would be great to have you here. Do a little equipment evaluation. You may or may not have a trainer. I found out that the trainer so I'm not sure if he's going to be available anymore. But at the very least, we're going to gather together the sound people and go over the equipment and talk about some things. So that'd be great. Other than that, enjoy the rest of the service. We'll have the usher, I guess, Jonathan, and grab somebody on board and somebody else can help. And then Sunday school.
Good morning. Welcome to Mother's Day. We are going over a topic that really doesn't have much to do with Mother's Day at all, so that's the way the timing fell. We're looking at things that can get you off the path in life and things that can get you off the path in ministry. And we're going to look at the idea of being frugal, and if you do that, can it conflict with living a life of faith? I was going over my notes last night upstairs in the house, and my wife walked in, and she looked at the notes, and she said, "Why do you need to go over your notes? Doesn't this just flow out of you naturally, being," she didn't say being cheap, but every so often we'll be in the office, and I'll be looking at, you know how it is in ministry, there's never really enough money to do what you want, or always a balance. And so I'll look at Paula and I go, "Says, you know, I'm kind of cheap." And she'll look at me like, "Yeah, I know." So this, I think it runs in my family. I think comes from my parents. My father is a consummate do-it-yourselfer, and I've struggled even paying people to do things that I know I can do myself, and I'm hopefully growing in that. You know, one time I found out I could, because I used to work for a mechanical contractor, I could buy mechanical equipment. I found out I bought a furnace, and I told my neighbor, I said, "Yeah, I'm putting my own furnace in." He goes, "Well, it's been nice knowing you." And after I put it in, I had to call Foster to fix what I did, because I found that there's definitely an, it's more than just is an art to it. But anyway, so we should talk about something in the Bible, I think. So why don't we pray and ask God to bless our time. God, thank you that your principles are true, that you want us to know how to put you first and live for the kingdom. Thank you we can speak together. Thank you for your word. I pray that you will use me and help me to just be helpful to each other in trusting you. Amen. So what does it mean to be frugal? What does it mean to live a frugal life? It means to be careful in your spending or in your using your supplies, or to be careful, to be cautious, to not be careless in how you do that. Most of the time, I think that is a good thing. And in our consumer culture, that's obviously a thing we need to do. Another definition is to live a simple life and without unnecessary things. And I think about that. I think of right now we have a pretty big house that I actually told my wife we weren't going to buy, but it was a good deal because it was a distressed sale. I said in the driveway, "We're not going to buy this, honey. We're just going to look and see how it works out." Short sale, we made an offer, and we ended up with this big house, but we have tons of space. And you know, when you have space, you put stuff in all that space. And the more space you have, the more stuff you can keep. And I find things, and I go, wow, I wonder how long this has been here in this box. You know, and I go, wow, you know, to live a devoted life, I find I spend a lot of time caring for my things and moving them around. And I go, I don't want to give my life to taking care of my things. So there's an aspect of living a simple life without unnecessary things that is a really good life. If you're going to give your life to people, and as you get older, you can kind of see this. As you get older, and you know, you really don't live that long, but as you get older, you can't do as much. You don't have as much energy or as strength, and we all have the same amount of time. But as you get older, you go, well, you know, I don't have as much energy to do, to take care of these things and to be with people. And sometimes it seems like, as I look at people as they get older, you end up doing one or the other. You then end up giving most of your time to take care of your stuff, or you end up giving most of your time to care for people. It can be hard to do both. That's just my opinion. So, frugal. If you're frugal, being frugal, is it bad? Is it bad to be frugal? Well, no. In general, no. But like a lot of things, if you take anything too far, it can be detrimental to your life. Now, food, we need food, right? We need food to live. If you don't have food, you die. But if we're honest, most of us, myself included, are going, you know, I'm not sure I need as much food as I have. I have a little too much, and I'm having to manage that. It's good to be frugal in a way that it's balanced. So with finances and with your life and in ministry, there are times in life when it's a necessity where you need to have boundaries up and say, this is a priority and this isn't. David Ramsey does these, what's the name of his class? Yeah, Financial Peace University. He has a principle in there when people are struggling with finances that I really like. He says, there's four walls that hold up a house. This is, your money goes to these four walls first. There's the transportation, food, clothing. I think it's three walls. Transportation, food, clothing. Oh, what else do you need? Your house. Yeah, your housing. Yeah, he says, you need a place to, unless you're going to live in the church. So, need those four. He says, if you have those four things, you can keep earning an income. He says, but if you don't have enough money and you're spending money on other things and you sacrifice one of those, your ability to keep going stops. He said, those have to be your priorities. So there are times we need to be frugal and say, well, these are first, and I need to stop these other things to make sure I take care of those. If you stop paying the electric company or the water company, you know, you won't have those things anymore. So frugality, is it bad? Well, no. There are times it's very helpful, but can you go too far where it becomes limiting for your life? Well, if it becomes an obsession, if it becomes the most important thing, if being frugal or getting the best deal or the boundary, if the rule separate you from God or separate you from God's plan because the rule is the most important thing and not what God is doing, you can go too far with that. Not as always as much as individuals, but in ministry, we can do that. When does it happen? Well, in essence, it happens when we're operating without faith. In that, not God will help me, God is involved in this, but this rule, obey this rule vigorously, vehemently, religiously, the rule will save me. Is it an obsession? So, what is faith? What is faith? We're going to go to Hebrews 11. There's a definition of faith right in the beginning. Let's see here. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, So it's not something you see. It's an assurance of things you hope for. The conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. People lived a life of faith. People in the Old Testament, people of old, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Now, I think this is really, this has actually changed since I've been in school, or since I was in school, about how they thought it's become more obvious that from everything they look at and how the universe is expanding, that everything started at one point. Everything, matter, energy, time and space, all started. They call it the Big Bang Theory, but they can't explain how everything came from nothing. They have no explanation because we can't reproduce that. None of us, in our limitation, we cannot create things from nothing. We can't create time, space, energy. All we can do is change matter. But it says here, this is how it happened. God spoke. God creates things from nothing. When God thinks something, it happens. When God speaks, that's what the Bible says. So the Scripture says everything was created when God spoke. So what is seen, what we see, was not made out of things that are visible. If you go too far with being frugal, you eliminate God working, is what happens. You eliminate the option of God helping you in a way that you may not see, because you're dealing with just the visible. If I manage this enough on my own, it will work out. So let's look at different ways you can be frugal. Let's look at different ways, things you can be frugal with. You can be frugal with more than money. You can be frugal with your time. Interestingly, we all have the same amount of time. No one has, in a day you have 24 hours, so it's all the same. But you can be frugal in how you spend it on different things. You can do it sparingly in one way, or you can do it generously in helping and serving in different ways. So you can be frugal in relationships. You can be frugal or you could be generous in relationships. You can be frugal with your money on some things, and you can be generous in other things. So this principle extends beyond your finances. And I think God is using this as a training ground of where your heart is. That's what I think he's doing. You know, I heard a saying that says a ship is safest. Where is the ship the safest? In the harbor. The ship is safest in the harbor. There's no risk that it can go out and get hurt. What's that? What's the song that Gordon Lightfoot wrote? Yeah, yeah. The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they put 15 more miles behind her. It sank in Lake Superior. But they were trying to get to the harbor. That's where the ship is safe. Sorry, I remember old songs. But that's not what the ship was made for. The ship was not made to stay in the harbor. The ship was made to carry goods or people from one place to another. If we do the safest thing for the ship, then nothing is served. But the ship is safe. But the ship was made to serve a purpose. The ship was made to go other places. The ship was made to move people. Actually, the ship was made to serve others so that you could have what you need, so that you could have food or electronics or whatever it's delivering, or to move you and your family and your goods wherever you're going. The ship was made for that purpose. If we become too safe, we risk nothing in relationships, with our time, or with our money, that God might use it to serve others. And you know, and from a Christian point, from an American point of view, your life is yours. Your money, your time, your relationships, they're all yours. And God has has full reign over those. But if you look at Christianity, that's really not true. We're stewards of all these things. God entrusts them to us. And we're going to spend them all. We're going to spend our time. We're going to spend our money. We're going to spend our effort in relationships in different ways. And then our lives are going to be over. And we're going to be with God. And we're going to enjoy perfect relationship. And I wonder what we're going to think. I wish I would have kept more of my stuff in the harbor. I wonder if we're going to think that. You know what Hebrews 11 says, the hall of faith? It says people are urging us on to live a life of faith. It's really true. People who are with the Lord are going, it's really true. He's really here. Live a life of faith. So, this is what God is at. Let's look in one of the struggles, especially in a consumer culture, for where your treasure is, what you treasure, what you invest in, there will your heart be also. Is God concerned about your money? He's concerned mostly about your heart, what you believe, what you think, and what you value. King Solomon wrote about this, and this is... Actually, he lived in a unique time when Israel had no enemies. And so he was able to pursue accumulating wealth like no one else could because he had no one to fight with. He had peace on all sides. But this, so Solomon said this. He said, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with income. This is also vanity. Howard Hughes was kind of an eccentric. At the time, I think he was one of the wealthiest men in the world. I don't know if he was the wealthiest, but he was very well known. And a reporter asked him in passing, he said, Mr. Hughes, how much money is enough? How much is enough? A little bit more. A little bit more, my son, a little bit more. It's a lust that is deceptive. If I just get a little more, it'll be satisfying. And God wants us to have our treasure where he is. So the writer of Hebrews elaborates on this point. What we love, keep your life free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we go back to Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So does it happen, can it happen that in being frugal, and you may not struggle with this, but I know I have. I know that I have put, if I look sometimes I have to get the best deal. I have to know where this is, and I look on the internet, and sometimes with some things, by the time I buy whatever it is, I know more about it than the salesman do. See, John Fisher said, he says, you're a salesman's worst nightmare. because I have to know. Because why? I don't want to get ripped off. But sometimes I spend too much time with them, having to control them. So, and I think God would have me spend my time in a different way, if in a way of that I'm dwelling on what is right and what he will use in the future. Because there's a certain amount of faith involved that if I get the best deal, if I control the spending enough, if I restrict and apply enough control, that everything will be good, that there'll be prosperous and there'll be growth. But God's not necessarily involved in that. So you can go too far with that in your life. So what God is looking for in life is that he have our hearts. He gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people who are zealous for good works. be able to do good things. I was reading about a particular church, and what they had found is that, and this happens with us, was, well, we don't have a lot of money to try a lot of initiatives, and this particular church had this same struggle, and they realized that they had put a lot of boundaries up. We're not going to try this, we're not going to try that, we're not going to try new things, and applied a lot of control. And the elders realized that, we don't allow people to try new things. We don't allow them to try new ideas. And so this is what they did. They said, we need to change our, they didn't tell anyone this, but the elders met and said, we need to change the culture of our church because it's been too restrictive and we don't give people a thought they can even try something. So this is what they said. He says, if anyone comes to us with an idea that we think we can afford, we're going to say yes, even if we don't like the idea. But we're going to try it because we want to encourage people to try new things, to connect with the community, to reach out. And in the first, people didn't kind of believe it because they were used to a lot of control, but it brought the idea over a year's time that people could try things, that the leadership cared about individual initiative and people reaching out. So I found that pretty encouraging. So with your money and with your finance, how might this affect you personally? There is a promise in the Old Testament, in Malachi, about giving and putting God first in your finances. He tells this to the Israelites. He says, bring the full tithe, the tithe was a tenth, it was part of the Old Testament law, into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So God wants people to provide for the kingdom of God. He wants them to put him and his purpose first. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing. So here is what being too frugal can do. It says here, this principle, that God has a blessing for those who honor him first. If you're too frugal, I can't afford that. I can't afford to give anything or to help anyone, it discounts God. There's no way that God can bless me. There's no way that God can help me. I must do this all by myself. And I think in general the principle of being frugal is good. If you go too far with it, though, you exclude God from being involved. And you're on your own. You've chosen to, but you don't know it. You've chosen to do this on your own, by yourself. There are people on the other side of, they don't have to manage as much because they have so many resources. They don't have to think about that. What is God's instruction to those people? This is in 1 Timothy. This is the opposite of people who are blessed financially, and it's not really a struggle for them. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And here's the charge. Paul is telling Timothy how to instruct his church with the people who have a lot of resources. They are to do good and be rich in good works and to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves, a good foundation to the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. I think that's, even when we are obsessive about something, we're going, hey, if I control this just enough, it'll bring some type of blessing. I think that's what we really want. We're going, if I do this rigorously enough, it'll work out really well. That's not always true. It's God who gives the blessing. And sometimes we miss that. And the rule becomes how we're going to get the blessing, not that God gives the blessing. That's, it's so easy to miss that. I know I've done that in thinking if I just do things rigorously, I miss that God is the one who blesses, not the rule I'm adhering to. adhering to. So I think one of the things, if you ever go too far down this road, is that you end up being anxious. End up being too anxious about this. You can't see another way for God to bless you. And this is in Matthew 6. He talks about being anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Well, good. Thank you for telling me. We could all go home now. This is an easy thing to say, but it's hard to do. Let's look at what he says. Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, or not about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Put God first in your thinking. Look at the birds of the air. He gives you a process here. Look at everything God takes care of. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? He asks you to compare yourself to how God takes care of things in nature. Every year, he does that. The sun comes out, the grass grows. We're in springtime now. You see the trees bloom. God has this process of taking care of things. He says, trust me. Trust me. So what does God ask for? God asks us to put him first in every area of our lives. And this is one area where it's easy to miss. Especially in our culture, where the culture says you will be happy if you have this. We need to go after what is truly life. So, what is God asking for? God is asking for the first piece. If you look in the Old Testament, the principle of supporting God's work was 10%. It's the first piece goes to God. It's called the first fruits. God, you honor God first. Why is that important? When you honor God first, it's training for your heart. It's training for your heart that God has first place. It reveals what you trust. Can God bless you? So I like to relate to this in terms of pie, because I like pie. So you have a pie. You have a pie. You have one pie. This represents your finances. And God is saying, I want you to put me first, consistently, regularly, to honor me in how I bless you. So the first piece is supposed to go to God. That's what he says. And it says that he will bring a blessing. And this is where I think we struggle. And this doesn't just happen in church. This just happens in the world. It happens in economics. There's a great misunderstanding, but we don't have time to get into that. So you have one pie, and you think, I have one pie. That's all I've got. And if I give part of it away, part of my pie is gone. What am I going to do? It's not that big of a pie. Can I live on that 9/10 of a pie? What's going to happen if I give that away? Is the pie big enough? The scripture says, if you honor God with your life, is that he will bless you. And this is what it says, is that he will give you, he will bless you. What if God expands and blesses you and gives you two pies? If there's a growth that comes from honoring and putting him first. So we miss that because we think, well, this is all I have. If you're being overly frugal, this is all there is. And if you're going to live a life of faith, if God calls you to reach out and take a chance for him, you say, well, I can't risk that. I can't risk that in life. I can't risk that in faith. I can't risk that even in a relationship I got hurt last time. I don't want to take that chance. I'm not asking you to be irresponsible, but what the scripture says is when God blesses you, you cannot recreate that. Not create God's blessing, and that's what we really want. That's what we really ask. So, I'm going to wrap up here. I think a little early. Frugality over faith. If you find yourself in this situation, where you can't, boy, it's hard to trust that God is going to help you there. What do you do? The first thing you can do is recognize is you're not really trusting God here. You're trusting yourself. You're trusting your own plan. You're trusting your own philosophy. And that what the process he brings you through is to look for God's promise. What does God promise you if you put him first? And actually, it says the test of him is put him first in your life and first in your heart. And take steps to change that and transform your thinking. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may need to look at this for yourself and say, well, what does this say? And what do I believe? Do I trust this? You know, I have this small business I'm starting to try to generate some income. And I was thinking about, because it's my business, I have the opportunity to give on the base total revenue coming in, not even thinking about my expenses, or I could just give on what's left over after I pay for everything, which isn't that much so far. And I thought, well, what is more honoring? And I met with someone who's a pastor. I says, how do you think about this whole tithe thing, and how does it work? And he gave me this intellectual explanation of, you know, if you have 9 cows and you have the 10th cow, you have to give the 10th cow. And we went all through this, how the tithing works. And I thought, you know, that doesn't take as much faith. It doesn't take as much faith. I think it takes. So I wanted to do that on the whole revenue side. But that's, I think it takes more faith to do. So I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that and see what God does. That's happened in the church here. About 2 years ago, we were looking at our finances with sending the team off to Purdue, and I go, wow, you know, we're just not, with me, you know, not losing my job, but taking the staff job here, I go, wow, it's just not a lot of, you know, should we keep going? What are we going to do? And I go, well, I'm really uncomfortable stopping. I think God has purpose for us. And then about a year ago, this process with Educare of we want to partner with you. And I go, you know, I think that's just God honoring our little piece of faith and blessing us. So God wants to do that in your life, that you can see him working out things that is bigger than you. Bigger than you. You know, my sons introduced me to this game that actually took off my computer because I was playing it too much and I needed more space. It's called World of Warships. And now I'm playing it on my son's computer, not as much. That's really a problem. And I've made it all the way to the top tier in the game. So I have these guys who play this, they're really good. I mean, if you make a mistake, you're just dead. So, but it's a team game, and you have to have a strategy on a team. If you have high tier players in anything, you have to have a good strategy. And so you kind of, and I says, hey, what's our strategy? Should we go here? You can't get separated in a war, otherwise you just get killed. So I go, what's our strategy? And I can tell right away if we're going to lose, because some guys will say, don't get shot. I'm going, that's not a strategy. Don't get shot. Win. That's not a strategy either. A strategy is how are you going to work together with a plan that's going to work. God has a plan laid out. Sometimes being overly frugal is don't lose anything. Don't lose it. Keep it all safe. But God wants us to take what he's given us and use it for the kingdom. Sometimes we have to take the risk with some of those things. And part of the risk is that God says something that you will follow through and help us. So I can see that's a winning strategy. If you want to win in life, you want to win in your finances. to trust God and do it God's way. Why don't we pray and we'll have the music come back up. God, thank you. Thank you that you're involved and you lead us in ways that we are not aware. Thank you for blessing us and teaching us. Thank you that we can trust you and you care about us.